Hey, what's up, everybody? Good morning. You guys doing well? Glad to be here. 17 people. All right. Praise God. Whatever. It's a good day to be in church, y'all. I'm excited to preach and very excited about this message. Honestly, we're in an impact series. Let me get some things out of the way. First of all, if you are our guest today, we're so grateful for you. My name is Mike, and I get to serve here as pastor of the church. If you're here for the first time or first time in a while, we're so thankful for you. So welcome to all of you. Also, everybody who's joining us online through our podcast, our live stream, our Facebook Live, however you got here, we welcome you and thank God for you. If you want to tell us where you're from, and you can dial in online and talk about what you need, prayer. If you want to give online or connect to a group or whatever, you can. Honestly, in the room, if you got Facebook and you want to share this service, say, hey, come to church with me right now. Get online and join me. You can share the Facebook Live link as well. So we're in a four-week series called Impact, and we've done this series for a few years. In fact, I've used the language of impact for 8 years, as long as I've been pastor here, and it's kind of evolved and grown as to what it means, but currently Impact is the name of our one fund. All of the giving of our church goes to Impact, and our hope is that we make a difference in our community, in our city, our region, and ultimately around the world. And so Impact is the single fund of all of the generosity and money to be stewarded here at the church. If you look on a giving envelope, there's one fund, and it's Impact. And so through that, we're able to hire staff and pay our bills, and then also we're able to plant churches and do missions and send teams around the country and around the world. And so we thank God for Impact. But honestly, I don't know that today's sermon is going to fit into Impact. It's not a money sermon. It's not another talk on stewardship. Last Sunday, we did kind of the five steps, the basics of Impact and how to make a difference with what God's given you and how to do God's money, God's way, and that kind of stuff. And so if you missed last week, I got to tell you, go back and get it. I think it's of real value to us. And I still agree that money is one of the greatest stressors of our lives. Amen, everybody? So, but today, I believe, I just want you to look at me if you can and just lean into what I'm about to say. This is a sermon that God's been really stirring in me for about 4 months, since December, actually, so that's 5 months. And I just haven't really figured out a way to articulate it well or where it would fit in the Roman series, you know. And so I feel like God has a prophetic word for our church that is going to change us from here forward. And let me just say it like this. I think God's going to wreck our lives today. Who's ready for Jesus to wreck your life? Careful what you wish for. It's been a rough morning. Like, it's been a hard word, and people have walked out of here in tears, grown men just crying, going, oh my gosh, you know, the Lord really has spoken to us. I think it's something that I know the Lord's been stirring in me, and I think it's something that God is calling us forward in. I think that honestly, like, so many ways that we handle church and teaching and preaching and all that stuff is good, and it has a place. But I think today is going to bring kind of the full picture of what God is calling us into as a church. So let me just get into it. I've titled the message today, Life in the Bucket. Obviously, I got a bunch of buckets on the stage, and I don't even like this title anymore. So we're going to rename it right now. You ready? Just scratch out Life in the Bucket if you want and title it this, The Parable of the Buckets. See what I did there? I Jesus juked the sermon title, and I went all Christological on you. I love the way Jesus taught. I mean, he loved to teach in analogies, right? He loved to teach in illustrations, and he taught a lot in parables. And parables are meant to be stories that take real-world context and real-world realities that speak a kingdom truth. And so we're going to do that today. And so we're going to rename this message, The Parable in the Buckets. Now, the series in Impact is about stewardship. It's about management. It's about how we handle all the things that God has given us. If you're new with us, that's what our Impact series has always been about for the last few years. And we want to realign our church to make sure that we're stewarding and managing and caring for the things that God has given to us. But really, the Bible has a very clear message about stuff and about everything, really, about our life. And it's that we are not owners. In fact, we are managers. We're stewards. Look at it like this. Psalm 24 says that the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. In the NIV, I think it says, and everything in it. So the earth is God's. Do you own the world? Do you own anything in the world? Okay, do you really believe that? Okay, I polled the room every service and I said, how many of you believe the Bible? This is your turn. How many of you believe the Bible? Okay, but do you really believe that everything that you think you have is not really yours? Do you really believe that your job is not yours? Do you really believe your house is not yours? Your boat's not yours. Your name's not yours. Your influence is not yours. Your title is not yours. Nothing that you actually have is yours. The Bible says, one guy said to me after service, he said, Bible says it, I believe it, that settles it. So the Bible says the earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the fullness of it. All the things of this world that you have, including your boat, including your house, including your money, including your family, including your brokenness, including your influence. Everything about this world is God's. You don't get to take any of it with you. So let's talk about this, the parable of the buckets. Let's talk about what it is that God is speaking to his church at LifePoint Church today. And I really believe this is a prophetic word for us. Now, let me just talk about some of these buckets. And these buckets represent the categories of our life, okay? First one I got is right here. It's bucket number one. This is our job. Everybody say my job. Now, many of you know this job. How many of y'all know this life, right? Everybody, the 70-pound rucksack. It's about 20. I got them to stuff it with pillows. But y'all know this life, right? Like this bag represents struggle, it represents training, it represents industry, it represents identity and income. Your paycheck is in this bag, your title is in this bag, and it could be anything. This bag may not just be a soldier's bag. This may be, I'm a stay-at-home mom and that's my rucksack. You might be a nurse, you might be a school teacher, you might be a physician or the head of a hospital. It doesn't matter what your job is, but all of us have this first bucket. It's called our job. It's our career. It's our calling, right? And we attach so much to this bucket. In fact, we go to school for this bucket. We go to training for this bucket. We get better certifications and licenses for this bucket. We hope that every year we get a raise in this bucket. Come on, somebody. Amen. And so much is attached to this bucket, including identity and income and influence. How many of you know when somebody says, hey, what do you do? Hey, tell me about yourself. One of the first things we say is what we do. Right? Oh, my name's Mike. I'm a pastor of a church. Oh, my name's Darren. I'm a counselor. Oh, my name's Bill. I'm a soldier. Oh, my name's Sean. I'm an electrician. We start the debates. We start the conversations here with our first bucket. And many of us, this is where we spend the most of our time and energy. We give the most investment is in this first bucket. Okay? And there's nothing wrong with that. But hang with me. I'm going to blast that bucket out in just a minute. Here's the second bucket. This is my favorite bucket. This is my family bucket, y'all. This is my house bucket. And y'all have not maybe seen my kids. And my wife did all the hard work, you know. But this is my girls. This is our new picture. Shout out to Meg. She's a photographer. If you ever need help, can you zoom in on this? This is my four girls and my wife. So here's Lucy. Hang on. Lucy, Julia. And then look at Hallie. Look right here. She's throwing deuces. Like, nobody saw that. I just love it. Hallie's over there like, what's up, you know? Anyway, and then look at Brooklyn. She's over here. She's the only one that didn't wear the tan sandals like everyone else. She went. So this is my family. This is my house, right? And many of us, we find identity. We find wholeness. We put our last name on everything. And the family bucket or the home bucket or the marital status bucket means a lot. And some of us have different looking buckets. This is what my bucket looks like. I look like a bunch of girls, you know what I'm saying? You know, I got this kind of bucket, but the bucket I grew up in was a single mom and three boys, right? And some of your buckets look like single or single again or married again or blended family. And we put a lot of stock into this bucket. And so this is our second bucket often. And so we work hard and we family hard. And then the third bucket is right here. This is our money bucket. I borrowed Julia's piggy bank for this illustration. I go, girl, this is a little light. So if any of y'all want to make a contribution, you can. But this is our money bucket, and this is what I talked about last week. I mean, this is the part of our lives that many of us are learning how to steward. We're learning how, maybe for the first time, to get out of debt, get on a budget, tell your money where to go, right? Give to God, save for your future, borrow, live on less than you make. All of us come into this world knowing how to empty this bucket. Some of us struggle with learning how to put in and how to manage this bucket, right? And so last Sunday, I gave you five steps, the basics of impact, the basics of money. Get on a budget, get out of debt, live on less than you make, save for your future, and give money away. And generous people are happier, and generous people are joyful, generous people have purpose, generous people are rewarded, right? So last week's message was about managing and stewarding this bucket. Are you tracking with me so far? Okay, fine. The fourth bucket, after we got our work and our family and our home and then our money, is this bucket. And this is the bucket that everybody gets in equal measure. Nobody, rich or poor, old or young, black or white, American, Canadian, it don't matter where you're from. Everyone gets 168 hours of every week. No one can figure out how to get more of it or get less of it. We all spend at the exact same rate. You cannot spend this faster or slower than anybody else. Does that make sense? And yet all of us complain with the same statement, I don't have enough time, which is a lie. It's I don't manage enough time, right? So we do talks and we talk about how to manage this well and how to put God first. And the first hour of your day, you should go to God, and then your family, and then we prioritize, and we do illustrations with jars and rocks and sand. Some of y'all remember that, right? So we talk about this bucket of time and redeem the time and live for the time. So the next bucket after our time, bucket number five, is our hobbies. That's where I put in this 50 pounds of weights. I just want to really impress you guys so that I can lift it. Look at that, 50 pounds. And I don't know what your hobbies are. Maybe you like hunting or fishing, or you like canoeing or doodling. I don't know what you like to do. Video games, Call of Duty, is that still a game? And we have these hobbies, and here's the reality. A lot of us do this to take care of that and spend that really to play here, right? And so we talk about in sermons, we're like, make sure that God's first and then your family and then you work so you can have play. And hobbies become a big part of our life. My hobby is working out. I love to just go to the gym. I like watching The Office on a treadmill. There's just something sacred about me and Michael Scott on an elliptical. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's just great. So we got bucket number five is our hobbies. Bucket number six is right here. It's our faith life, right? It's our Christianity. And so I brought kind of a representative of our Christian life. And of course, I got two translations of the Bible, y'all, because I'm real spiritual. So I got... this is actually the oldest Bible that I own in the year 2000. In the year 2000. I went to California to intern at Jack Hayford's church on the way, and they gifted me this Spirit-filled Life Bible. And then it drowned when my wife and I had a total lost fire in 2004. It was like a foot of water in my apartment, and this was sunk under the water. So we dried it out, and all the pages are crinkly, not because I've turned them a lot, but because they were wet. And so then I rebound it. So this is my oldest Bible. This is like a treasure Bible for me. And I look at some of my old notes, and I was a real idiot. You know, when I was a young Christian, I wrote stuff in there that ain't even scriptural. But then this is one of my favorite new Bibles. And I want to thank my man, Pastor Benny Ferguson Sr. back there, who gifted me this Bible right here. This is the Fire Bible. And we are going to be getting these for kids in the future. But this is I'm Spirit-filled, so I got me a Spirit-filled Bible, and it's in the ESV translation. Also, because I'm a believer, I got the collected works of C.S. Lewis. That's real Christian right there. You know what I'm saying? Like, this isn't just left behind. This is C.S. Lewis, everybody. You know what I'm saying? Then I got the Survivor's Guide to Theology, because what good am I if I can't win a debate with you and your crazy, wacky theology? And so I got all that. And then... I got my prayer card and my Bible reading plan. And then this book The Daniel Dilemma by Pastor Chris Hodges. This is my pastor, my mentor, and we have this book in the lobby. I think every one of you should read this. It's How to Be a Christian in a Godless World. And so these are great. This is my spiritual bucket, right? I got my Christian bucket, and I got all my, this also includes my Christian schedule, because I go to church, I go to life group, I put my kid in the youth group. I got my Christian bracelets, WWJD. FROG, PUSH, LMNOP. I'm gonna create that bucket. I don't know that bracelet. And then our last bucket, no, bucket seven. Oh, right here. This is one of my favorites. Have y'all seen that bucket? This is a favorite bucket of mine. This is relationships, sex, sexuality, sexual identity. This is a bucket that has actually taken over a lot of our lives. And some of us don't find fulfillment if this bucket isn't right. Or we only know happiness if we have someone on the other side of this bucket with us. Or I find it really interesting that we've found identity in this bucket. We've allowed our sexuality or sexual desires or brokenness to communicate about who we are and how we are. But this is like a big deal, and we're wired for a relationship. In fact, just as we are created in God's image, what is God's image? He's Father, Son, and Spirit. He's perfect in relationship all the time. We're built for relationship. And so this is one of our buckets. I've joked before that I love this bucket. My wife and I do. Obviously, I got four kids, and I say I don't have four kids because I like kids. I got four kids because I like this bucket. You know what I'm saying? Amen. Happy Mother's Day. And then bucket number eight, some of y'all are new here and you're like, is this the kind of guy he is? Yes, it is. We are just getting started. This is the bucket. It's our secret bucket. This is the stuff we don't want people to know about. We hope God doesn't see. We got the codes and the combination to this. It's a Pulp Fiction moment right here, a little John Travolta. I told Chad to put a light in. I thought that'd been awesome. And this is the bucket that we kind of keep private and closed. It's the bucket of our sin, our habits, our relational pain, our hurts. This is the one that we hope God doesn't see. And we hope we don't carry into church like this, like, hey, good morning, brother. How you doing? You know, we got like these books in one hand and this box in the other. And we're like, bless God. Amen. Praise the Lord. I'm just going to set this down right here. No, we leave this in the car. And the only people we show this to are the ones who do these things with us. But we end up in a life of Christian living And this is where I got to be honest as a pastor. Like, I've been guilty of perpetuating what I'm about to say. And I don't think it's bad. I just don't think it's everything. I don't think seeing our lives this way is necessarily wrong. It's just not all the way right either. Does that make sense? Like these things are good. We need to manage these things. And so often in stewardship messages and in how we teach in the church world, we say that like we need to manage all these things in biblical ways. Right? Right, everybody? So we're going to manage our money in a way that honors God. We're going to manage our relationships in a way that honors God. We're going to manage these buckets. And for many of us, we actually think that stewardship is about what we do with all the things that we have. And I've been guilty of teaching the steps of stewardship, right? So in the work bucket, we say things like this: work is unto the Lord. Be a good steward. Show up on time. Be integrous. Deal with conflict head on. Pray for your boss. Be the Jesus that they never would see. There are people in your company that'll never know Christ unless you become Christ to them. And we say these well-intended things, and they're true, and they're good, but they're not great. We say, show up on time, have integrity. Ephesians 6 says, servants, serve your masters with as unto the Lord. Then we come to the money bucket, and we say things like, hey, look, put God first and your future second, and then live on 80% or less. And we teach these money principles: get on a budget, give out of debt, give money away, tithe, give offerings, be generous. And I believe that completely. But we've taught it like you've got to manage this bucket. And then with the family, I say things like, you know, the husband is the head of the wife and the wife is the helpmate. And children are to obey their parents as unto the Lord. And every parent says, amen. And we teach series and we teach Christianity about how to manage the buckets. Honestly, I'll be real candid with you. I don't like building a sermon calendar around the buckets. Like, I don't want to do a February series on the relationships and a May series on money and a November series on how to get good at your life and work, and then a spiritual disciplines and work series in December. That's why I like preaching through the Bible. Because it's not topical, it's just biblical, and it just punches you in the face in every area at one time. But I go back to this pesky scripture. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it. And we go, of course we believe the Bible. But yet we keep preaching and getting books on the 7 steps to success in relationships and the 5 keys to financial freedom that honors Jesus and lets you become a millionaire. And we keep listening to series about how to hide or overcome your sin or how to be a good employee and how to be effective with your time management. And we say we believe the Bible, yet we still keep coming back to ways to manage what we think we own. But I just believe that none of this stuff is mine. Like, my relationships aren't mine. My family is not mine. You know how I know? Because I can't take them with me. This money's not mine. My prayer life's not mine. My sin isn't mine. My habits aren't mine. My working out is not mine. My job is not my own. And yet we keep perpetuating the cycle of saying, here's how you get God in your money. Here's how you get God in your workplace. Here's how you do all these things. But what if we're honest with this scripture and we start believing that every bit of this is God's and not mine? What is most important? What comes first? How am I doing in these areas? But I want to challenge you with something that's going to probably upset you. And this is where I feel like God is calling us forward as a church. Hear what I'm saying. Look at me, please. God is prophetically calling us to a different place as a church. I just weirded half of you out with that statement, didn't I? What if there's another bucket? What if there's another bucket? And it doesn't look like these buckets. It's not shaped like these buckets. It doesn't follow the pattern of these buckets. What if there's another bucket? Thank you, Chad. And what if we had another bucket that God's maybe calling us to, and he says, this is actually the only bucket that matters? And what if I said, these buckets don't need 7 steps to freedom anymore. These buckets don't need 5 keys to success, to please God, and to bless others. But what if I said, none of these buckets mattered, but this is the only bucket that actually mattered. It's aside from these buckets. It's other than these buckets. It's differently shaped than these buckets, and it should become the one that informs these buckets. And I called this bucket Jesus. What if I said that this bucket should be the only one that you give your attention to? And this bucket is the only one that you should give your effort to. And this isn't a bucket that you look at. This isn't a bucket that you approach and try to figure out your way to it. But rather, you realize that this bucket has found its way to you, and your job is simply to find yourself in Christ. See, Colossians chapter 3 says it like this. If you've been raised with Jesus, come on, Christians. You've said yes to Christ. You believe that God sent Jesus Christ to die for your sin. He said, if you've been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above. Look at what he says. Don't set your mind on things of the earth. What have we taught ourselves? What have we conditioned ourselves towards? Manage the bucket. Manage the bucket. Manage the bucket. Your prayer life, your relationship life, your hobby life, your work life, your money life, your family life. Manage the bucket. But he says, set your minds on this bucket. Set your minds on Jesus. Be found in him. What if the greatest act of stewardship in your life is not how you manage this bucket and how you manage this bucket, but rather what if the best thing of stewardship in your life is you giving yourself to Christ and rather let him manage you? What if Christ had all of you? What if Christ had your job? What if Christ had your money? What if Christ had your relational pain and your forgiveness issues and your anger management problems? And what if Christ had your sexual brokenness and your identity issues and your wounds? And what if Christ had your victories and your happy 50-year marriage? Because honestly, none of these things should ever define you. None of these things should be the label that determines who you are. I'm a divorcee. I'm a single mom. I'm a black guy. I'm a Canadian. I'm a soldier. I'm gay. I'm a Christ. I'm a church. I'm a Baptist. I'm broke. I'm a millionaire. I'm an electrician. I'm a soldier. None of these things should define us, but rather be found in Christ. Before any other label, before any other attachment, before anything else is ever on you, are you found in Christ? For those who have been raised with Christ, look at this. Seek the things above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things in this bucket. Set your minds on things of Christ, not on the things of this earth. For what? You have died. Every bit of your agendas, every bit of your history, your baggage here, your upbringing here, your brokenness here, your inability to trust, your questions here, all of the things that you keep hiding here, all of that has died. If you've said yes to Jesus, then you're a dead man. You don't belong to you anymore. The Bible says you've been purchased by Christ. And look what he says. You have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. I don't look like these things anymore. I'm to look like I belong to Jesus. I don't look like these things anymore. I'm to look like I belong to Christ. I don't belong to me. I'm not who I used to be. I'm not who I was raised to be. I'm not even who you think I am. Jesus said it like this. When you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And then they call us and they tell us and they say things like, and when people see you, they should see Jesus. Christ in you, the hope of glory. You know, one of the greatest challenges for the church is people have no idea about the Christ we serve because we're so busy trying to manage our buckets to look like we serve Jesus when in fact we don't serve him. We just serve these buckets. But what if your life started to look like you were found in Christ? What if your life started to look like your identity was in him? Look at how Paul says this in Philippians 1:27, my favorite scripture in the New Testament. Whatever happens, the NIV says, then the ESV, it says, only let your manner of life be worthy of this bucket. Only let your manner of life be worthy of the gospel. So let's talk about some things happening. My company downsized. I got a promotion. My boss, I just got a new boss. And I think his last job was the gatekeeper of hell. He's a horrible person. I can't stand her. Here's the reality. Whether you have a job, lost a job, need a job, it doesn't matter. Because I'm found first in Christ, not in my job. And whether I have a job or not is only a reflection of how I'm found in Jesus. So when I show up to work, I show up as a reflection of the radiation of the Son of God on my life. I smell like I've been with Christ. I talk like I belong to Jesus. I'm not my own. I've been bought with a price. My life is hidden in Christ, not hidden in my job. It's not about the name on the bag. It's about the God who lives in me. whatever happens, live in a way that honors the gospel. I just got a promotion and they doubled my pay. Live in a way that honors the gospel. I just lost my job. Live in a way that honors the gospel. I just got demoted. Live in a way that honors the gospel. Because let me tell you something. When the trials of life come, are you found in Christ or are you found in your buckets? Here's a question. When your relationships go astray, family falls apart, you wrestle with identity issues and sexuality issues. Listen, I find it really interesting that we've now identified people by their sex. Can I just say, I don't have a sexual identity. I have a Christ identity. Like, that should trump everything. I'm not a straight guy. I'm not a straight white American Southerner male. I'm a Christ follower. My identity is Jesus. When you see me, you should see Christ alive in me, the hope of glory. So when my relationships are great, it's because I'm in the bucket. When they're falling apart, I'm still in the bucket. I can't change what happens out there. I can only change what happens in here. I can only manage me in Christ, me in this bucket. I belong to him no matter what. Look, when my money starts getting all twisted, maybe you got a huge tax return. How many of y'all thank God for tax returns? Amen. It's like a pay raise every spring. You know what? All of a sudden, none of the things that come my way matter. Because what only matters is that I'm found in Christ. You know what? Go back to Psalm 24. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it. I'm in the earth. I'm the Lord's. This isn't mine. This is God's, and my life is in the bucket. And now whatever he wants to do with this part of my bucket, he can have it because I'm not my own. I'm found in him. Isn't my preaching to anybody but me in a piggy bank and a bucket here? I'm not found in me. I need my amen quarter to get a little worked up here this morning, okay? This is not mine to manage. I am his to be managed. Did y'all hear what I just said? I just set your life free, right, with that statement. This is not mine to manage. I'm his to be managed. What if your greatest act of stewardship is not how you manage these buckets, but it's giving your whole self to God and letting him manage you? Here's a question. When your family falls apart, it's an idol, it's fallen over. Here's the deal, your family falls apart, or your family's super awesome. Maybe you got one of those Dennis the Menace kind of families, you know what I'm saying? Like a Ozzie and Harriet kind of family, I don't know. I grew up more of an Ozzy Osbourne kind of family, you know what I'm saying? So like, hey, whether your family looks like this, we've had a lot of pain in this photograph. We got a fifth daughter somewhere in heaven we want to meet one day. We all have our issues, but you know what? None of that matters because I'm in Christ. And that means my family is a reflection of me in Jesus, me in Christ. How I parent is a reflection of Jesus in me. How I husband is a reflection of Christ in me. How I discipline, how I'm generous towards them, how I protect them, how I provide for them. It's not about them, it's about Jesus. I am his currency to be spent at his pleasure. So what if the greatest act of stewardship is that you give yourself over to God and let him manage you? I just got to ask the question, does God have management authority in your life? See, we think stewardship is what we do with what he's given us. And I think stewardship is about what God's still trying to do with us. Remember I said in the Roman series, Jesus didn't come to give us a new rule book. So all my religious folks who struggle with sin, where you at? The rest of you just not playing? What's wrong with you? Here's what we do with this, though. We hope that we can keep this out of the box from Jesus, or we hope that we can keep it a secret from Jesus. Right? What if instead of trying to overcome and fix it, what if we just submit it to the bucket? Because you know what the Bible says in 1 John, that your sin issues are a bucket issue. Your issues with habitual sin is not that you're just a terrible person and a deadbeat. It's that you're not close enough to Jesus to let him take that from your life. Pastor Bo asked a question. He goes, why is it that so many of our people still struggle with unrepentant habitual sin? I said, the issue is not their sin or their struggle. It's the bucket. It's about being found in Christ. The Bible says that light and darkness do not coexist in the same place. So as you are in Christ, as you're in the bucket, as you live and breathe in your essence, the very nature of who you are is emanating the fact that I am not my own. I am found in Christ. I don't belong to me, but to whatever happens, I'm going to live in a way that honors the gospel. All of a sudden, it makes sin a whole lot harder when you realize that you don't get to fulfill your own pleasures. You are to be spent at his pleasure. Right? Whatever happens, did that text not come up on the screen? Live in such a way that honors the gospel. I must have got real jacked up on my screen here. There it is. Jesus says like this, Matthew 6. He's talking to his disciples about their managing of their buckets. Money. What are we going to wear? What are we going to eat? How are we going to take care of ourselves? And Jesus says to them about all these buckets, he goes, don't be anxious about this stuff. Remember what Paul said in Colossians, seek the things above where God is, not the things of the earth. Don't be anxious saying, what do we eat or drink? What will we wear? For the Gentiles worry about managing all these things. But he says, seek first the kingdom of God. Hey, church, seek the bucket. Be found in the bucket. Be found in Christ. I'm going to talk about what that looks like in just a second, because some of you are like, okay, what are the seven steps to be found in Christ? And you're already trying to manage another bucket. Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And look what he said, and all these things will be taken care of. All these things will work themselves out. You come and be away with me. You come alone with me. You ever notice that with sin, Jesus didn't give people seven steps to recovery? He just said, don't do that anymore. Come follow me. Woman caught in adultery, remember that story? Levi, the tax collector, he's like, okay, man, hey, let's have a meal. Levi was like, he met the Lord and he said, I'm going to pay everybody back four times. I'm going to give it all back, Jesus. And he's like, not impressed. All of us read that story and we're like, dang, son, that's life change right there. Jesus' only response was, okay, come follow me. Like, Jesus is not impressed with your ability to manage these buckets, church. Did you hear what I just said? God's not impressed with your ability to manage, because none of it's yours. God's impressed with Jesus, and when you're found in Christ, you are now the righteousness of God. Say it with me, in Christ. I may never get these items right, according to your standards anyway, but all I have to do is be found in this bucket. Here's how Paul said it. For me, to live is Jesus. Everything about my breathing, everything about my walking, every conversation I have, listen to me, church, every conversation we have, everything I post, every tension of unforgiveness and unresolved conflict, every time I struggle to sin, for me to live is to be in and to belong in and to be covered with and to be surrounded by and to be owned by Christ. So the challenge for us is to figure out, has anyone else been guilty of trying to manage all the buckets in a way that's Christian enough, right? I want to do these things that are pleasing God enough, and as long as I get six out of the eight right, or as long as I got all of them better than that guy, then I'm managing these buckets right. But you haven't been called to manage these buckets. You've been called to surrender your life to Christ and let him have management of you. So what does it look like for us to live in Christ? See, this series is about making an impact. Is this challenging anybody today? So Pastor Bo and I are talking last night, and it's like, so how do you do that? I asked him point blank across the table. I go, how do you do that? How do you live in Christ? And it's interesting. He goes, ah, if you haven't heard Pastor Bo speak, first of all, he's at North Clarksville West Creek Middle School every Sunday at 9:30. He's an awesome pastor, awesome preacher. He's going to be preaching for us in June at this campus as well. But I said, how do we live in Christ? How are we found in Christ? And he's like, man, pray more, read your Bible more. I go, you're already trying to manage a bucket, Bo. What if the very essence and nature of who we are has literally been transformed by the presence of God? What if you're not trying to manage this anymore? You're literally just surrendering yourself to it. See, I love the text when the Apostle Paul says in Philippians, he goes, I have discovered the secret. Y'all remember that book, The Secret, that came out a couple years ago? Oprah was pushing it big on the O Club. Come on, where my O Club members at? No, just kidding. And he says in Philippians, he goes, I've discovered the secret. I know how to have plenty, and I know how to have lack. I know how to be healthy, and I know how to be sick. He goes, I have found the secret to contentment in this life. And he said, I can do all things through Christ who gives me the strength. Hey, let me just challenge you with how to find yourself in Christ. See, I don't believe it's a system. necessarily. I think it's a posture. Like, I'm a Vol fan, you know what I'm saying? And Pastor Bo and I were talking about this too. That's right, go Vols. Jesus was a Volunteer. Had a Florida Gator fan try to school me in the lobby. I was like, son, get you and your little hot self out of here. Bo and I were talking about, I said, dude, you're a Vol fan all the time. And it affects and impacts every part of who he is. Like, he won't wear crimson ever. You couldn't give him a crimson shirt. He ain't gonna wear that. It's the devil's color. You know what I'm saying? It affects how he plans his Saturdays in the fall time. It affects everything about his life. Because you just are. It's just an essence of who you are. And I think that's the part of Christianity that we've missed. We've gotten so used to managing the buckets like Christians that we haven't actually belonged to the Christ that we're managing them for. Paul says the secret is that I can do all of this in Christ and through Christ and with Christ. So let me just ask you a question. And this is going to really challenge us today. If all of these buckets went away somehow, you lost your job, you had a catastrophic medical emergency that eliminated your money, you lose your family to catastrophe or an accident or an affair, your relationships just get completely destroyed by whatever, and your job gets taken from you because of downsizing and terrible management, or you make a mistake and they're like, we forgive you, but policy's policy. If you lost all of these things that you've been working so hard to manage as good Christians, would you still be found in Christ? Would you still be found with hope and an expectancy of eternal life because Jesus is the only hope we have? Because he alone reigns and everything's his. If you lost it all, would you have Christ? 2004, my wife and I lost everything in an apartment fire. Somebody was cooking something upstairs at 4 a.m. I don't think it was scrambled eggs, you know what I'm saying? And we lost everything except a little bucket, like a little 2 foot by 2.5 foot little plastic tub of moldy stuff is all we had left. Like, I didn't own Q-tips. I didn't have underwear just to prepare on, you know what I'm saying? And yesterday morning, my wife and I, we're moving at the end of this month. We bought a house. It's an awesome blessing and we praise God for it. And so after 7 years living in our home, we sold it and we're moving. And I just got emotional thinking, God, we've literally lost everything. I've been there. I've lost everything. And here's how the Lord restores it and rebuilds it and provides for it. And I said in front of my kids, I said, God, if I lost it all again, I know that I'm complete and I'm whole and I'm found in Christ. Do you believe the scripture enough, Psalm 24, that everything that you think you own is God's? It's not yours. So stop holding it too closely. Are you found in Christ? Is your essence Jesus? See, when I'm tempted to sin, I don't have to think through 50 scriptures. I just go, no, I belong to God. That's not how I live. When I go to work, it's a result, it's a reflection of my life in Christ. How I treat people is a reflection of my life in Christ. Are we building our lives on Jesus? Is this making sense to you guys, this parable of the buckets? Instead of trying to manage them, have you given your whole self to Christ and let him manage you? And does he have ownership and the rights and the privilege to speak into you and through you and to have all of you? And let all of these things be a reflection of the fact that he has ownership over you. Next Sunday, we're going to talk more about our impact series and what it looks like, another visual message. You're not going to want to miss that one. But it has to start here. Here's the reality. None of these things matter. Even the good practices, like the 90 days in the New Testament and the Bible reading plans and the Dave Ramsey stuff and the managing your family and the marriage conference and all these things are great and good. But without Christ, they're nothing. And so are we. So I feel like I just want to get saved again today. You know, like I just want to go all in and start over and go, God, I feel like everything I've tried and learned and grew in, I just want to start from scratch and go, God, am I all yours? Is my pastoring God's? Is my Christianity God's? Is my hope God's? All the earth is the Lord's. and everything in it. Amen. Come on, let's stand together and pray. I want us to close with a worship tune that we introduced today. It's called Build My Life. And I don't know if you caught the lyric here on the bridge, but it says, I will build my life upon you, upon your love. It's my firm foundation. And honestly, this is the call of God for every human in the world, that you would build your life not on your ability to manage you, but on a willingness to let God have all of you. Have you surrendered all to Jesus? Have you given him everything about your life? And does he have the rights to manage you well? We're going to close with prayer, and we're going to sing this chorus together. And I just want you to sing it and like make this a declaration to God. I'm going to build my life on you. God, would you speak to our hearts this afternoon? Thank you, Lord God, that you love us. Thank you, Lord, on this Mother's Day Sunday that, Lord, you are calling us forward into a new place in our devotion to Jesus. And God, we just submit to that. We surrender to it. We thank you, Lord God, that you're asking us to come into the place that you've prepared for us. God, you're not asking us to do more, but to be more and to come away with God and to follow you better and to be more committed to you, God. And so, Lord, we commit to do that. Everybody, do me a favor. Just lift your hands to the Lord. Say, God, I'm all in. Say, I commit to go in with you and to live for you, to find my life in Jesus. In your name I pray. Come on, we're going to sing this chorus. Don't leave. Let's just really amp our voices to the Lord and declare this to God today.